Good evening, everyone. It's certainly a blessing to be able to stand before you again today to proclaim God's Word. It is a wonderful day. It is a beautiful day. And yes, God's words are wonderful. He gave us His words so that we can follow what He wants us to do. Today's topic is Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can find that in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 8, Hebrews 13, in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why does His word get changed over from one to the next? Why does people take it, utilize it for their own glory, for their own good, for their own satisfaction? That's the question that you ask yourself. That's the question that we speak of today. If you go back to the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer here writes in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His power, by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." We ask ourselves, why do we change His words? Why do we utilize something that's not? In the past, when God spoke to the prophets came and spoke His word exactly that they had heard from God. They told the Israelites, "You better do this, you better do this, you better listen to me, you better pay attention." There was a prophet, his name was Jonah. He was told what to do, and he didn't want to do it, so he ran away from God. But God found him in the middle of an ocean, and He said, "I'm going to send a whale and swallow him up and take him back to dry ground after 3 days and spit him out. And you are going to do what I tell you to do." And Jonah went and proclaimed that word, although he didn't want to. He was angry about it because he hated the Assyrians for what they had done to his people. They were murderers. They treated people terrible. And he did not want them to have the same thing that he had. He tried to change it, but God found him. And He took him and said, "This is what you need to do." And that day, there was a whole bunch of people that repented. Probably one of the most repentant days that we have as far as Scripture gives us. John chapter 1, in verse 1 through 4, if y'all would, we're not going to go back and forth to Hebrews a lot, but we're going to be in the book of John a whole lot today. So grab your finger and just place it somewhere in the book of John and kind of hold that whenever we switch back anywhere else, because we will be going back and forth in the book of John. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." And if you drop down to verse 14, we are told that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We're talking about Jesus Christ here. Christ was with God in the beginning. He is the Word. He was with God. The Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life. This life is the light of men. That light is the light that you have of being able to make it to heaven. He gave you the opportunity. He gave myself the opportunity to be there with God. If you skim back over to Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 1, he tells us, the writer does, that we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. If you've never heard the word proclaimed the way it is, you need to read the scripture. The scripture gives you and I everything we need to know about our Lord and Savior, about God, what kind of a God we have, how much He loves us, what He was willing to do for you and I. But we must be willing to read it ourselves. It's important to take your Bibles, open them up, and read. It's important to go back and forth, look at Old Scripture, look at New Scripture. The Old Testament, look at the New Testament, and see how it plays out, how you can see that Christ was there from the beginning with God, and He's working His way through, and they're proclaiming Him and showing that He's going to come to us in these last times. In the book of Exodus, we are told that Moses has been to has seen a bush burning, and this bush that he sees burning, he can't figure it out, and he's like, I'm going to go over there and check this out and see what this is and what's going on here, because something strange is happening. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, in verse 4 in chapter 3 in Exodus, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Then you hear, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Why is it holy ground? Because God was present in that bush. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. If you skim over to verse 14 in chapter 3 there, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites when you go back and tell them, I am has sent me to you. Who is I am? I am is God. If you look back in John in chapter 8, in verse 52, or verse 58, I'm sorry, John 8, verse 58, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. So Jesus is I am. Jesus is God. People get confused at this. They go, well, who's God? Is it Jesus or is it God? Is Jesus his brother? Is he his son? Who is he? God is Jesus. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. They are all one. They come together. They was in the beginning. They was in the first times when they made man. He said, we made man in our image, not in the image of something else, in our image. That is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that he was talking about when he made mankind. In the book of John, in chapter 4, verse 24, we know that God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So to worship God, you must worship in spirit. You must worship in truth. You must not change his word. His word is important for us. His word must stay true. It must stay sound. And we must be confident that it is sound and that it is true. We must not have any doubts in our minds that that is what His Word says. In John chapter 8, in verse 24, He says, "I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." You must believe upon Jesus. You must understand that Jesus is I am. It is important for us to see that, to understand that, and to believe it, and to live it. The book of Matthew, stay there in John also. Don't run off. Just keep your finger there. The book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." So we understand that Jesus has everything, that He has all authority in heaven and on earth, and it has all been given to Him. This is after He has died, after He was buried in the tomb, and after He was resurrected, and He came back for over 40 days, and He made His disciples made known to them that He was the one that was buried. Go back with me to John, the book of John, chapter 5. In John chapter 5, in verse 26. John chapter 5, in verse 26. "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He granted the Son to have life in Himself. And He has given Him authority to judge because He is the Son of Man." All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. So, if you go with me to the book of Ephesians, we're going to see that all authority has been given to Him. We understand in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 22 that, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. I was looking at Galatians 1, 22, and it didn't look right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. "And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fulfills everything in every way." So, we understand that Christ is the head over everything. He is the head over the church. He is the church. And when we think of Him in this aspect of being over everything, having authority over everything, we have to abide by His Word. Not by what we want to do, but His Word. So when you go out into the world and you're visiting with people and they say, "But what about if, what if this only means this, or what if this only means that? What if this is just referring to this? What if we don't really have to abide this way? What if we are able to do this?" If you are in the what if stage, you are still a young child in Christ. You need to look at His Word fully. Focus on His Word and absorb it into your body so that there is no what if in your mind. There should never be what if He really wanted us to do this, because we now have computers and they didn't have computers then. We now have cell phones and He really probably doesn't want us to do this. We are to be able to just be by ourselves and watch it on TV. We can learn everything we need to. So what if? And that's what the world does. That's what we're told. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if He's the same, why do we have what ifs? Why are we looking for a reason to disobey Him? Why do we choose to do that? It makes no sense for us to want this. Go back with me to the book of John and look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 49 is where we're going to be at. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I did not speak of my own accord. This is Jesus speaking here. But the Father who sent me commanded me what to say, and not only what to say, but how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. You see, God spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament, and he told them what to say, and they obeyed him and said exactly what he wanted them to say. And Jesus came, and he done exactly the same thing that the prophets did in the old time. Jesus spoke for God's behalf. Jesus speaks on behalf of God. And now, what does God tell us in verse 50 there? What happens? He speaks to us why? His command that God gives us leads you and I to salvation. Salvation is heaven. Salvation is everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the only way that you and I can reach salvation. We cannot have it without him. Go back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 68. If you go back up and you look, Jesus is speaking in 53. And he says to says to all of these people and to the disciples, I tell you the truth. When Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you better listen. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. You see, you got to live in Christ. You got to want to be a part of him. You have to feed off of his word. You have to feed off of his intelligence. You have to drink upon his word. You have to drink of his intelligence. Simon Peter down in 68, he says, or the people after this, after he said this, they all left him. And the way I feel, they felt like probably he was talking about cannibalism. And they're like, oh, I'm out of here. I don't want this. They didn't understand, so they left him. Simon Peter answered, the Lord said, what about you guys? What are y'all going to do? Y'all going to leave me too? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Who has the words of eternal life? That would be Jesus. And he does have the words of eternal life. Keep your finger there in John. Go back with me to the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 33, verse 4, in 33, verse 4, I'll get there. Psalms 33, 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does. Stay there in Psalms, in Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I don't need anything because I have his word. I have him with me. All I have to do is read it, study it, and live it. Not just hear it, but actually live it. John chapter 14 and verse 6. The book of John in chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus answers, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You must come through Jesus in order to see the Father. John chapter 3. We're all familiar with John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. But John chapter 3 in verse 5 gives us something that we really need and that we really need to hear and really need to understand. Jesus answered in John chapter 3 in verse 5, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. These scriptures are important for us to hear. They're important for us to listen to, important for us to absorb into our lives so that we may proclaim them to anyone who asks. John chapter 8, nothing but scripture. John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth if you hold to Jesus' teaching. Not to man's teaching, not to nothing that someone else tells you. I can stand here and tell you things. You can either believe them or not. But what you read in Scripture is what you believe. You have to be able to read it and follow it and say, yep, that's what it says, and that's what you believe. John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus is praying before he dies. John 17 and 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. Jesus is speaking to God in prayer, and he says, sanctify them, the disciples. Sanctify them by the truth, and that is your word. Your word is the truth. The word is inspired by God. God inspires the word. And if you look in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that's how we know that the word is inspired by God. It's another way for us to look. 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 3, sorry, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed, or all scripture is God-approved. All scripture is breathed by God. He is the one that gave the scripture. And this scripture is useful for teaching. It is useful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Righteousness is only if you are in Christ. So that the man of God, if you are in God, if you're a part of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not just for partly good work, partial work, but for every good work that you have. John chapter 4, or in the book of John in chapter 14, verse 15 is going to be your next scripture. John 14, verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And in John 14, in verse... John 8, verse 51. I got that wrong. John 8, 51. Jesus is speaking here. John 8, 51. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. But you must keep his word. So keep the word close to you. If you're keeping the word close to you, that means you're keeping Jesus close to you. You have God with you because you have the word with you. You're understanding him. You're wanting to be a part of him. Back in 17, when Jesus is praying on the mountain, or when he's praying here before he dies, in chapter 17, verse 24, Father, Jesus says, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. You see, he's asking God here to allow you to stay close to Him. Let me have them. I want them to be with me so that they can see the glory that I had with you. There's only one way to continue in that. Look back to John 14 in verse 23. This is where I was trying to go to a while ago and I went too fast. John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him." We will come to him and make our home with him. So if you obey him, if you do what Jesus says, then God and Jesus are going to come to you and make a home with you. You can have Jesus with you all the time. You can never be away from him if you choose to. He gives us that. He asks God for that. Obey God's word is what we're told here. Obey his word. Verse 13 in chapter 15 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you right now, you are Jesus' friend if you are in him. If you have believed upon him, if you have confessed, if you have been baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection, you are his friend. The book of James is our next scripture. And James is the brother of Jesus. And James tells us something that we truly need. We need to hear it. We need to see it. We need to believe it. James chapter 1 verse 22. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." He says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Man, that'd be tragic to me to forget what I look like because I am handsome. Y'all feel that way, don't you? You don't want to forget what you look like. You want to remember. You want to hear the word, but not only hear the word, you want to keep the word close to you. You need to obey the word. You need to do what the word says. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1, is another grand scripture that we can look at to see the brother Paul. He says to the Romans here in 12 and 1, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy." God's mercy? God's mercy was that he brought his son to earth to die on the cross, to suffer great sacrifice. And God witnessed this sacrifice, looking upon his son dying, and had to turn his head away when he called out to him, "Help me. Where are you at? Why have you forsaken me?" So that you and I could live with him and have his word in us. God's mercy to offer your bodies, your body, my body, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do what God's word says. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 1. Says, imitate me. Make sure. Or be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Not only do we need to be imitators of Christ, but we need to be that living sacrifice that walks the walk and talks the talk, having him with us always. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That death on the cross is shameful. Something that he never should have had to do, but God understood and knew that that's what needed to happen for you and I to have salvation, to have the goodness to be able to be with him, to understand him. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, Jesus came back and he talked to his disciples after he had died. And in 28 and 20, he said, or in 28 and 18, he said, God has given me all authority in heaven and on earth. And he tells the disciples what they must do in 19. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in verse 20, this is what you and I are supposed to do after, upon having that, upon being baptized into the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always with you to the very end. You see, we're also supposed to spread his good news. We're not supposed to be closet Christians. We're not supposed to set up and hide this, because this is something great and grand. Have you ever had to hide cookies in your house from your children so they wouldn't eat them all at once? Have you ever had to hide soda pops in there so they wouldn't take them all at once? Take the dessert and put it somewhere? Hide a present so they wouldn't go find it? That's what we do, because it's something good that you're looking to. But not Christianity. See, God wants us to spread it. He wants everyone to come to him. Not just some people. He wants everyone to. He doesn't need them to, but he wants them to. And he gave his son as that sacrifice so that people would be able to come to him. What a grand and great opportunity we have to be humans here, to have him live in us and to be a part of us. He also gives us instructions in the book of Revelation in chapter 22, in verse 18. He says, I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him the share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. That is taking heaven away. You don't get to receive that if you take away or you add to his word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. We can see that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. You see, God is a God that's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him, and we will give account on the day. Go back to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. The free gift of the water of life is offered as an invitation to everyone in the world. And it could not have been an invitation if Jesus wouldn't have done what the Father commanded. The invitation is available today. It is available. It was available yesterday, and it will be available tomorrow if God doesn't send him back to come and get us before that. Whatever his will and whatever his purpose, it is available to us because Jesus did everything that the Father commanded. In John chapter 17, in verse 1 through 5, beautiful scripture. Jesus is fixing to die. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows what he's fixing to see. He knows what he's fixing to come to. He knows the nails are going to be driven through his hands. He knows that he's going to be beaten before it. He's going to be stripped naked, that he's going to be shamed. He knows that God is not going to be there for him. He is going to be all alone. And look what he says in John 17:1. After Jesus has said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Isn't that beautiful? Jesus loves you and I. He wants you and I to follow him, to be true to him, because he is the truth and he is the life. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. You can have everything that he has, but you got to be willing to do your part. You got to be willing to accept his word. You got to be willing to read it and follow it and obey it and to live it, to imitate him and to spread it. Doesn't mean we just do it and it's over with at that point. Yeah, I'm good now, clean. I can do what I want to. That's not what he said. You must follow, you must obey. The invitation is open tonight as we stand up and we sing this song of invitation. We're always thankful. We always praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he has given us. And for that reason is why when we pray and we always close out in Jesus' name, because it cannot have been this way for us without that sacrifice that he gave us. If anyone needs anything, prayers, whatever it may be, please come forward as we stand, sing the song of